a long, long, long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
Introductions. Marooned on the planet of Week, Anarchy and Quay settle into a new life with the help of their friend, Richard Swordfire. Will the arrival of the blacksmith's mysterious friend be a boon and help get our adventurers home? Or will they be the bearer of bad tidings and pull them into a war they can never win? Welcome, everybody, to a new season of Flight Risk. This is season 3 for us. This is our Group B story. This one's going to be following Anarchy, Quay, and our mystery new player we have not introduced yet on their adventure on a far-off planet. If you had listened to the little preview episode that came out before this one, you know that at the end of season 2, Quay and Anarchy were blasted deep into space by a malfunctioning hyperdrive, and they ended up on the planet of Week. And if you're not a big, deep Star Wars fan full of that Legends knowledge, it's all right. Week is essentially, how I describe it to people, is Dungeons & Dragons and Star Wars having a baby. And since we're all nerds and we all love Dungeons & Dragons and Star Wars, I thought it'd be fun to play a season on that world. So we're going to be diving into that, but first, we are going to meet our players. Let me check my wheel of players and who's going to go first here. Let me see. Wheel spinning. And we are going to go with Velvet. Velvet, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Dwayne. How are you?
I am doing good. I'm excited. Week is one of my favorite little worlds. I love these worlds that make no sense, that don't relate to anything else. I don't know why. And I think Week is going to be fun. So who are you playing for this season?
I play Anarchy Calamity Fortuna, who is the moral compass of the group at any given point.
Going by, it seems like, at least in a little preview episode, you're going by Lady Eris this season?
Lady Eris of the Technocracy?
Of the Technocracy?
That is Anarchy's character from Oubliettes and Drakes.
She used to play with Skip when they were little.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Played Bard.
I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense. All right, Velvet, so our little intro question is, for you, not your player, who is Velvet's favorite droid or AI from Star Wars lore?
From Star Wars? I gotta go with R2-D2.
What'd you love about that little trash can?
He's just always been there. Like, he's the linchpin.
He's rocking. He's a little sassy, so I think it works. Yeah.
It absolutely works.
He's a lord of chaos as well, just like you.
There you go. Birds of a feather flock together. And see, I'm so good. That's a great segue. Speaking of birds, let's go over to our other player. Arp, how are you?
Just fine, thank you.
Cool.
How about you?
I'm awesome. I'm excited. So Arp, who are you bringing to this season?
I am continuing to play Quagoris. Quay uses the pronouns they and them. Quay is a bird person, a Satari from the planet Arbuin, and they are a gunslinger, a rogue, or at least they think of themselves that way.
Now, is Quay going by Quay on this world, or is it assuming another identity like Anarchy?
Quay is not really the secret identity type, I would say. A real dashing rogue would be, but Quay just thinks of themselves that way.
And same question that I gave to Velvet. Arp, who is your favorite droid or AI from Star Wars lore?
I'd have to go with the Gonk droids.
Cool.
They're precious. they're so bad that I just have a really soft spot for them in my heart. Yeah. They just wander around going gonk, gonk, and charge things with their giant battery powers.
You know, it's a simple existence, and sometimes that's what's best.
Mm-hmm. Big respect for Gonks.
There we go. All right, now to our new player. I mean, I say mystery player. If you listen to the preview episode, we already did his player introduction. But this is Mark. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
I'm very, very excited to have you on, man. I love having new people come on, especially GMs of shows that I love. So I'm glad you're here.
I'm excited to play. I very rarely get to play, so it's nice being out from behind the GM screen.
There you go. Just, yeah, you get to sit back, throw some dice, not worry about it. I'll do all the heavy lifting. You just put your feet up. All right. And Mark, who are you playing in this game?
I'm playing Aaron Windstalker. He's a human. He lives on the outskirts. I think I'll just leave it at that for now.
Cool. We will reveal more as we go.
Yeah.
Mark, same question to you. Who is your favorite droid or AI?
I really like L337 from Solo. I like that she like just built herself. Like, she was an astromech droid and wanted to become more, so she became more.
That is, yeah. That's a pretty awesome little story arc right there in that little movie.
Yeah. I just really like the personality and how it tied in with things.
They've done pretty good with droid characters in the last couple movies, because Rogue One had, I never remember the initials for these the ones with the really tall droid. That one guy was very cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Awesome and sauce. So, okay. We are going to dive into this. As per our little preview episode, Anarchy and Quay were pulled from the rubble of the Harbinger Knight Obliquity by one Richard Swordfire, who is a blacksmith on the outskirts of Vossport. He was doing some stargazing because he is a firm believer in visitors from the stars. And lo and behold, this crazy conspiracy theorist, his theory came true. So he's probably pretty darn happy. We're going to jump probably, we'll say, about 2 or 3 weeks. I imagine that Aaron Windstalker comes back into town about every month or so to get weapons prepared, stock up some food, that kind of jazz. So we're going to start with a quick question for Anarchy and Quay. So in this 3 or 4 weeks, what has Quay been up to? What does he do on a regular basis?
Quay goes by they, them. Quay has been primarily out hunting, and the hunt is something Quay is used to, coming from a bit of a backwater planet themselves. They're the only one of their kind out here in the greater galaxy at this time. And so they're falling back on the skills that they honed in their youth back on Arbuin, which is, you know, stalking and killing large creatures for a variety of purposes. Maybe it's for food, maybe it's for materials. But it's important to Quay that the hunt isn't just for the thrill of it, but that there's a purpose to it.
Nice. And what has Anarchy been up to? Has she been learning the blacksmith trade, or is she going full Doc Brown, Back to the Future 3, and being an inventor in this crazy time?
1.21 gigawatts. She's been attempting to assemble small potato power droids.
That would be awesome. Just a droid just walking with a bat with a cart full of potatoes strapped to it. That would be interesting. All right. So we're going to say it is sun setting in the distance. You guys are in the hut of Richard Swordfire. It's the end of the day. He is done with his blacksmithing. The fire is a crackling, and the meat stew from whatever animal I assume Quay was able to catch on one of his hunts is a boiling. When you hear a telltale knock on the door, Richard jumps up excited because he has been waiting to share this news with his dear friend for weeks now. He runs over, flings the door open, and he sees his friend. And what does he see? What does Aaron Windstalker look like?
He looks like a human male. He's got a decent-sized beard from living out in the wilderness for a while. Brown hair, average height. If you've ever seen a picture of me, he looks kind of like what I would look like if I lived out in the woods for a couple years. He's wearing comfortable heavy clothes, and he's got some various weaponry strapped to his back.
All right, Richard sees his friends, and just you, Aaron, you can see the excitement. It's like there's like a fire behind his eyes. And he's, Aaron, it's true. I knew it. You were right. I was right. Oh my God. Look. And he points at Velvet, and he points at, sorry, he points at Anarchy, and he points at Quay. This is Lady Eris. This is Quay. They have come from the stars. I knew it.
That's a really big bird.
Yes,
never seen a bird that big.
He is not.
I believe you.
He is not a pet. I have learned this. He is not a pet. He is a person. He's not a pet. So yes. So come in, come in, come in. Close the door. You never know who's listening.
All right.
Oh, so.
Yeah, I come in and close the door.
So he just retells a story how he was out stargazing, tracking the stars, looking for things, because he is a big follower of the star swimmers. Those well, we know them in our universe as Purrgils, but to them he calls them the star swimmers. So he charts them as they disappear in the sky, trying to see some rhyme or reason to them. And they just crash, and I pulled them out, and I got them out before the Talons, and now they're here, and they're gonna help us beat Lord Moment. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Lord Lady Eris? Aren't you going to help us?
Absolutely. We are here explicitly to help you.
See, the stars,
That's exciting news.
The stars, they give. I knew it. I knew it. My father's father's father was not crazy. Maybe not as crazy as everyone thought. He was crazy about a few things. He liked to talk to potatoes. That was weird. But other than that, he was right about everything else. And we can do. We could finally defeat Lord Moomin. So what are we? What can we do, Aaron? You are the greatest warrior I have ever known. So we have to do. What can we do? How can we take down Lord Moomin? How can we get to his Anbelite Tower and take him down?
Well, you're quite the flatterer there. I don't know if I'm the best warrior you've ever seen. Aaron is. He would not consider himself a warrior. He's all about the balance. So we know that weak is sort of like, I don't know. It's a powerful place, and he really likes the balance between good and bad, and it's got to be somewhere in the middle. So. I think Aaron might be not the right person to ask for ideas, but I think Rick's got some people that we can talk to, right? Don't you, Rick? You know who to talk to around here.
This balance talk sounds like some heresy. You'll need Wowzer.
Now, is there's the good, there's the evil, and there's something in between. I like to be right in between.
Yes, I you know what? I like the middle, but Lord Moment, we Aaron, you know Lord Moment is not in the middle.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
He's
pretty dark.
He's been a corruption on our land for far too long. And we finally have people who can help us. No one else is brave enough to take down Lord Moment. I know, Aaron, I don't like to trade on your friendships, but do you think we can talk to the Paladins? Do you think they will help us?
The Paladins. Yeah, I think they would. I think we could do that.
So, perfect. So, okay, I didn't want to say anything earlier, Lady Eris and Sir Quay, but Aaron, he knows the Paladins. They are brave warriors, strong warriors. They're four brothers. And they are so skilled. They're almost as good as Aaron. Aaron, I believe, is like amazing, but these guys
are. They're pretty good. Yeah,
these guys are great too. They have been helping fight back Lord Moment, but they are only four, and they are just trying to, like Aaron, balance things out. But I think if we get rid of Moment, we can do it. So I think we could head to town. I mean, Aaron, do you know where we can find them? Do you know how do we contact the Paladins? They just show up and fight and disappear. Do we have a way of contacting them? Is there like a Paladin signal that we could light?
Well, they're pretty private, but I think if we got the right food, they might come. I think we should maybe invite them here with a party.
Okay.
I'm hearing that there's only four, Anarchy's gonna whisper to Quay, so they can't form Toltron.
You know, it could be one of those four type joining robot things, you know. Then always have to be fives. So okay, a party. Okay. What do we need to do to get them? What do they eat?
Well, I hear they really like meat pies.
Okay. I mean, we have meat cooking here, and I assume we're going to put probably like a lot of tomatoes or sauce into it, right?
Right. Basil, oregano.
Okay. Okay. So you guys are going to have to go into town and get me the dough and the oregano, because I just have meat and tomatoes out here. I'm a very simple guy. You know me, Aaron. I just like stews. But if we want to bake this, you guys just head into Vosport, pick up some supplies. I'll keep the meat cooking. We will make these flat meat pies for them, and then we'll see if they come, and we could start planning. Does that sound like a plan?
Sounds fine to me.
Yeah, I mean, I can get some meat for you if that's what you require.
Do you mean literal meat, though, and oregano, or are those euphemisms?
I don't...
I mean real meat.
Real meat and real oregano. We have beautiful gardens and farms here. There's so much we're very natural. We don't believe in fake food.
What about cheese? Think we could put cheese on it?
Cheese is very expensive, but you know what? He goes to his little chest and pulls out a bag with some gold coins. And I've been saving this, and I think this is the time for it. He hands a little satchel of some coins over to Aaron. It's Aaron, you buy everything. You buy the nicest cheese, the oregano, get the nicest dough. Any other toppings you think will work. You guys can take,
great.
You guys can take my horses and go into town. And maybe we can get the paladins to come by tonight. We'll cook these meat pies and we'll put them on the window, and maybe they'll just, the smell will bring them in. Anything's possible in this crazy world we live in.
Anarchy is someone who uses like eclectic colloquialisms for her various substances. So she's just looking at Quay conspiratorially because she's convinced that like this is some Breaking Bad shenanigans.
So please, he walks you guys outside. There's his horses that he has. He uses to bring his cart into town when he's selling his wares. Please take the horses, head to Vosport. It's getting late, but they should be able to find someone who will sell you what we need. Go quickly, and we'll meet the paladins tonight.
All right, let's head off.
Okay.
So he goes back. He's going back to cooking his meats and stuff. You guys head outside.
Is this going to be a problem in the town? Will the people be as surprised as you were to see someone like me?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Perhaps some type of disguise might be in order.
I've got a bit of a reputation. Well, I think it should be fine. No offense. I don't mean any offense. But you look like a bird. And I'm known around here to
yeah, my people are descended from avians.
I really like animals, and the people around here know that. So if you can pretend to be like 100% bird, we might be okay. I mean, I don't want to ruffle your feathers or anything. Does that sound okay?
It's not exactly dignified, but I'll see what I can do for now.
I mean, if there's anything I can do to undignify myself, I'm happy to do it.
Well, it's not necessarily an issue of joint, you know, degradation, just so much as I'm a person. I'm not a bird.
Right, I understand that.
If it will prevent violent misunderstandings, I'll be very happy to make the attempt.
Cool. So you guys head off towards Vosport on horseback. It's probably about an hour or so ride away, because like we know, Rich Swordfire is a little on the nutter side. At least the city thinks he's nutters. So he lives a little bit farther away and rides in every day to sell his wares and works on things. He has a shop in town that he works. So you guys are riding in, and you know, we had Aaron describe himself. So what does Quay look like now? What are they wearing out there? Are they still wearing their clothes from the crash, or they have adapted to what maybe some of Richard's old clothes?
I think Quay is wearing clothes that they have put together from items obtained on the hunt. So they are wearing like a sort of a cloak that has been made of the hide of some deer-like creature, some type of ungulate. So it's a spotted brown and white cloak over their shoulders. They've retained their breastplate that they've been wearing since the beginning. Just, you know, it's an Arbuinian thing. They've got on one hip the remains of their gun, because they like that gun and it looks nice. And on the other side, they've got a hand crossbow, which is what they're using for the majority of their hunting. Across their back, there's a spear that's sort of a sectional spear. They can snap it. It's folded in half for the most part for easy stowage, but when they need to use it, they can snap it to full length off of their back. So that's mostly what they're wearing. They've got a hood on that cloak that they have up right now in an attempt to sort of hide their beaky face to an extent.
Very cool. And what does Anarchy look like right now?
Anarchy's fashioned some like long flowing robes in you know, classic fantasy style, though she has made them as colorful as possible. You may even say that she has a technicolor robe. She may even be Lady Eris of many colors.
I feel she's going to have a lot of titles thrown on after her name as we go through this adventure.
That is the whole point of Oubliettes and Griggs. Just horrid titles.
There you go.
She still's got her belt.
That's life without some fun titles. Of course.
All right, as you guys are writing, can we have everyone do... You know what? Let us roll our Force and Destiny real quick before we actually start rolling dice.
Ooh, yeah.
So I always forget to do that before we get into this.
It's good thinking.
And the Destinies.
Good.
Hey, almost balanced. Not too shabby. All right, so if everyone could give me a perception check versus a chew purple on the difficulty.
Okay.
I failed. I don't perceive anything.
One advantage.
Success and two advantages. Quet raises their hand and pulls their claws into a fist to signal to stop, and points at their eyes and then towards the sound that they heard. There's something over there. Trouble, sounds like.
What do you see with your avian eyes, Quet?
I haven't seen much yet. Just the sounds. But I do see lots of trees.
Might I have some vague idea with my one advantage what it might be?
You know, Aaron, that this area has been known to have some, like, raiders or bandits that kind of are in this area. They do occasionally will rob people who are transferring goods back and forth, that kind of stuff. So you recognize at least that the yelling out here is not something that's too surprising for you. You could probably make a guess that it could possibly be the raiders that are doing their thing.
Okay. Might be right as might be something else. Do we check it out?
You know the area better than I do. And you'd know the situation. A Qued draws their hand crossbow and slots a quarrel into it. But I'll follow your lead.
Aaron pulls the bow off his back. All right. We should probably dismount. We want to be quiet.
Okay. Quay hops off their horse and
sure. You're gonna creep up stealthily. Ahead. So if you want to do a stealth roll of any kind to see if you can get without being noticed, you're free to do that.
Oh, wait, are you coming with us, m'lady?
I am all about that XP and loot. She's half convinced that like this is just a fever dream, and it's like.
No one's really looking for you guys, so it's just going to be a one purple. No one's even really looking for you guys to be coming out of the brush, so it'd be surprising if someone actually noticed you.
It's dark, so can we have boosts?
Yeah, I'll definitely. We'll give you one blue as well. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, should I re-roll with the blue? I mean, I succeeded anyway. Never mind.
I'm pretty successful.
You're entirely too sneaky. You just disappeared.
All the dice have canceled out.
Okay, so you did not fail or did not succeed. So,
or you did not succeed. I failed because I didn't roll a success.
Sorry, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm all about the... I got really enthralled by the whole balance thing. He's like, you didn't fail or succeed. Everything's good.
Fell down there, Thanos. Wrong franchise.
Exactly, sorry. That's next season when you guys have to go against Thanos. That's a whole other thing. All right.
Don't give me Infinity Stones.
You should know what happens. Anarchy's going to get the Infinity Stones and all hell's going to break loose. All right. So, all right, as you guys are keeping up, Quay, you may not notice their foot placement perfectly, and they snap a branch. You hear the crack.
Oh, no.
And as you guys come through the brush, you see six raiders. Oh, I don't want to call them bandits. They are raiders. These are guys that are dressed probably similar to how Quay is dressed. They have the animal skin outfits. They have what look like clubs or axes in their hands. You can see two that have a long bow and the others. And they are panicking, moving around. And you see in front of them what is a... I had an image. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It's a dust stalker, if you don't know what that is. You know what I had an image saved, but it's not coming up on my stupid tablet. There you go. So you guys see about six bandits firing arrows and freaking out because they have this ginormous, multi-legged, gigantic blue insect in front of them with sharp claws, teeth. It's just roaring, and it's taking swipes at them. And one person has heard of the snap of the twig. They look over and see you guys, but they realize that the giant bug is more of a concern, and so they kind of acknowledge her existence, but go back to making sure they don't get cut in half by a giant bug.
What silhouette is the dust stalker?
I think I want to say it's two, if I remember right. So I know it's not super huge, but it's bigger than I forget. Two is how big? Because...
Car, maybe?
Yeah, I would say yeah. Because they're not three, that's way too big. So yeah, they would be two. So yeah, basically...
Just a speeder.
Basically a bug the size of an SUV.
Okay.
And it is taking swings. They're freaking out. They did not expect to see this. And Aaron, since you are from this area, you know dust stalkers are very rare, especially this close to Vossport. It's mm-hmm. been probably a couple of years since you've seen someone this close to town. So it's a little surprising.
Oh dear.
So I have seen one of these before.
Yeah, you have. I would say in your travels, you've probably seen one or two. You might have even been tangled with one. I don't know if you've killed one. I don't know or you've just respectively got out of the way.
Yeah, it would be respectively got out of the way. I would like to try to calm it down.
Okay, I'm going to give, like I usually do in most combat things, I'll give everybody one action and then we will roll initiative. So if Aaron, if you want to try to use some of your mojo Jojo powers on this thing. And
So I would say it would probably be a survival check.
Yeah.
If that's okay. How difficult do you think that would be?
Are you trying to tame it or just get it to calm down?
I'm trying to get it to calm down so it stops attacking and hopefully doesn't die in this encounter.
Okay.
So, yeah, Aaron is slowly and calmly walking up to it with a single hand raise. Then, easy there, big guy.
Okay.
Time to calm down. Don't want anybody to get hurt.
All right, I'd probably say this is going to be, I'll say three purple with two black setback because it has a couple arrows shot at it. So you see it's been wounded. So it is in an aggravated state.
That is a solid failure.
All right. But you do have three advantages. So what advantageous thing kind of happened?
I'm not close to it.
You realize, yes. Aaron realized.
I started walking up to it. saw that what I was trying to do wasn't working and was able to back off a little bit.
All right, you didn't get into that engaged range. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Quay or Anarchy, what would they like to do if they have a move? Or are you just going to wait and see?
No, I would like to try to identify kind of this big old bug boy's weak points.
Okay. I would say as the xenobiology. You may have never seen this thing before, but Anarchy, we know, watches the animal planet or space animal planet, so you might know some stuff about insects.
So much.
And it's possible. It's going to be a 4 purple because this is definitely something you've never seen before, but you could give it a whirl.
Get out of here.
Look at that. No issues at all. 4 successes. God, you should have been a zookeeper. I mean, that's kind of what Anarchy's destiny should have been, apparently. All right, so...
I almost had those dodos, but they were dire.
That's true. This is not a dire dark, a dust stalker, so we're okay there then. So, yeah.
The dire beetle from that one.
Yeah, Anarchy, you can definitely see that for this thing, it has its legs that if you could take out one or two legs on a side, it's definitely going to limit its mobility, and you know that its eyes are very easily blinded. And I'm going to also give you, since you have 4 successes, I'm going to give you 2 advantages that you could pass on to either you or one of the other players on an attack by giving them that information, okay?
Ditto.
Cool. And Quay, what would they like to do?
I think Quay tries to scale a tree.
Okay.
To try and take the high ground.
Cool. Climbing a tree is not something that is difficult for Quay. We know that they are pretty athletic and stuff. So if you want to use it just as a straight movement, I'll say that could be your thing. You can climb a tree and get into a perch, as it were.
Okay. Quay climbs a tree. Right,
so if we are, everyone's done a move. Perfect.
Different hollow bones. Gravity is immaterial to them.
Let us, you know what? It probably would be easier to climb with hollow bones. There's a little less weight there. That's something to think about. All right, let's go ahead and roll some initiative, and then we'll get into this thing.
All right, a success and 3 advantages.
And then roll for the beastie. Where are you at, beastie? Okay. So the beastie's got 2 successes. Anybody meet that?
I also have 2 successes and 1 advantage.
All right, tie goes to the player.
I had 1 success and 1 advantage.
All right, so, cool. We now have order. So, PC, NPC, PC, PC, NPC. Okay, so, PC slot up first. Who is making a move?
Quez Fall is waiting on Aaron.
All right, so, I think first Aaron would shout at the raiders. We can take care of this together. Just work with us. We don't want to hurt you. And then he notches an arrow in his bow and is going to shoot at the dust stalker.
So that'd be it. 2 purples since you're at the short range.
And he misses. He's going to sort of sidestep a little bit. He's far enough away that he's sort of at the edge of the trees and is going to try and get a little bit of cover in the trees. He knows this thing's big and might not be able to navigate through the dense woods.
Okay, cool. You have the 2 advantages. Do you want to just pass one on or so to the next, or a disadvantage or an advantage to the next player?
I want to pass one along to the next player.
Okay, cool. We're at the NPC level. This is going to be the big dust stalker. It's going to take a swipe at one of the old raider groups that are right in front of it. It's engaged as 1. Yes. Okay, cool. All right, it takes a swing. Oh!
Oh. They're dead.
Okay, then. Wow. Okay, it rolled a lot. How many is that? 7 advantages, or 7 successes, 1 advantage, and a triumph. Ooh.
All right.
Okay, wow.
Not a good time.
Okay, so this massive beast takes a huge swing, and you can just see that 2 of the raiders are just gutted by those front claws. It lifts them off the ground. Shakes them a bit and flings them back to the ground, and you just see the light has gone from those poor raiders' eyes. They are just gone. And...
oh, dear.
Yeah, this... yeah, so those two are dead. It has scared the other raider. Did not kill from, let's say, from that minion group, and that guy just says whatever the weak version of screw it is, and just books it. He just turns and runs. He's like, I am too young to die. I have a wife and a kid. I am not dying by a giant bug today. And he is just gone. So that whole group is just eviscerated. The other minion group is definitely backing up. They are scared out of their lives. They've probably never seen something like this, so they are panicked. They're going to be at a disadvantage when it gets to their attack. So that is one whole group is just gone. Okay, so now we are at two PC slots.
We might just want to head for the horses.
Yeah, you just saw this thing just kill two people in one big sweep movement. So either Quay or Anarchy.
What do you think we should do? Should we run?
Yeah, you know what? It looks busy. We don't want to bother it right now.
Okay. I mean, that is a completely valid choice. If you guys want to disengage, and I'll have you do probably one more stealth check to get out of there without drawing the attention of the beast, but that is a completely valid option.
All right. Quay is going to attempt to run away.
All right.
All right.
So yeah, go ahead.
We're retreating. It is a valid tactical option.
Quay's got right, no beef with this thing.
Yeah, it's just doing what Dustalkers do, you know. So, we'll say.
Are we still rolling these in initiative?
Yeah, we'll just go through initiative order. That way,
okay.
Give everybody an equal chance. So yeah, Quay, since you're up, they can go ahead and roll against the two purple. It's a hard difficulty because it's enraged. It's looking for something to kill.
Okay. Let's see. Stealth. Three advantages. My favorite. All right.
So, yes, the advantages, but no success or failures. All right. So, Quay, you start to move from the tree, and the beast shifts its gaze towards the tree, and Quay knows a thing or two of a beast and decides just to freeze and stays in that tree and is not noticed, but did not get away. You're still engaged in this combat right now.
All right.
So now Anarchy, are you hightailing it out?
I will try, but wait. The creature has not seen me, right?
No. So, yeah, so you'd still be doing the two purple, but remember, I'd say if you want to use one of your advantages for Toy Friend, you could have passed those on to somebody. You have those blues you could add to your roll, since you know a thing or two about.
Yeah. I had an advantage that I was passing on as well, or a boost that I was passing on as well.
True. Should I add that to Quick? I don't know, if you roll one blue, can you get a success on it? Okay, yeah. Arp, if you want to roll the one blue that he passed on to see if you get a success, that can change things.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll try both of mine, because I am not very stealthy, because of bells.
Hey, I got a success and an advantage. Well, Quet starts to run, freezes, and then... As soon as it looks in a different direction, continues running. Pops through some treetops.
All right, so perfect. So Quay is now disengaged. It does not know that Quay exists. Anarchy, you got the one eventually. You did not succeed in escaping your safe, so the animal does see you. It's still engaged with some other raiders, but it has clocked your position and knows you're there. But since it's engaged, it's not going to come for you yet. It still has to chomp into some little beasties right here, or little raiders, you could say. These raiders are seeing that the tide is definitely going to get them. They're going to do the same thing. They're going to try to skedaddle. They're going to have it a little tougher because they are closer. Let me see what they got for their ability. Not bode well for them. All right, so they do not get away, but they don't get attacked. So they are still stuck to closest thing. As they try to run, the thing kind of just skitters back and forth, blocking off their escape route, and they are still stuck in the little area with this thing. And now we're back at the top of the round with the PC slot.
Okay, let me know if you think I can do this. Okay, so Aaron has an ability. Sure. Called Alter, that sort of changes the terrain. And he's got an upgrade on it that he can pretty much conceal any ally at short range.
Okay.
Multiple allies. So is that something that I could roll and then we'd just be hidden and can get out of there without being seen?
Okay, so you're going to use the power to make you guys essentially just disappear from the perspective of the... Yeah, that's it. That sounds reasonable. That's what the ability says it can do, but basically alter the way things look. That seems like it would work.
Cool. Dark side. All right. I'm going to use it if y'all don't mind me flipping a destiny point. All right, so I flip a destiny point. I take my two strain and use my maneuver to run into the forest. And the three of us sort of run, and it seems like the forest is closing up and hiding the path behind us.
Cool, so it kind of just swallows you guys up. You know.
Yep.
Cool. You guys have gotten a... disengage from this thing. You hear some more shouting. You hear some roaring. You hear that telltale sound of flesh being mangled. And you can just hear some chomping as what I assume is what's left of those poor raiders is probably being eaten up by the big old dust stalker. So, a little on the scary side there. Alright. So you guys get back to your horses. And yeah, that is...
It's all about balance.
It's all balance, yes.
Couple raiders, we're alive, you know. It all evens out.
In the circle of life, sometimes, you know, sometimes you're the dust stalker, sometimes you're the dust stalker's prey. That's the way it goes on a week.
The dust stalker.
The dust stalker, you're the dust stalker. Yes, that's an old week saying, you know. All right, so you guys are back at your horses, and I assume you're going to make your way towards Vosport now?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's a little weak experience. As you ride...
From Vosport with love.
Yeah. As you ride up, you guys can see Vosport in the distance. It is a fairly large kind of manor-style old feudal European design. You got large white stone walls. It is along the coast. You can smell the salt air. As you're right up, this town is kind of bustling. It's probably getting close to almost 100,000 citizens that routinely are in this place. A lot of travelers, a lot of salespeople. It is a major coastal town. A lot of export-import happens out of Vosport. It is a hub. It's one of the oldest cities on... Broke out extremely dry.
I don't like this place. It's too many people. It stinks.
This is the town that is under the domain of Lord Momin. He has claimed it as his own. And stories have been told that over the decades, maybe even the centuries, that people have tried to take him down, but to no avail. It does seem to defy logic that one man could... last that long in charge, but this is weak. The Force is strong here, and anything is possible. You guys ride up to the gates of Osport, and there is a guard at the main gate. He is wearing kind of like chain mail. He's got a large poleaxe on his shoulder, and he sees the three of you ride up. He says,
"Halt! What is your business in Vosport?"
"We're just here to buy some groceries. Don't mind us."
"Just groceries? That seems... Don't you grow your own food?"
"Nah. I forage. These two have been mooching off my friend Rick for a couple weeks. I think that one hunts."
"Swordfire? I've heard that Swordfire had some visitors. You've been living with that crazy fool out in the woods? He hasn't driven you crazy with all his talk of the stars and people walking among the stars and all that kind of stuff? That guy is crazy. I mean, he can fix a sword like none other, but he is crazy. How do you put up with him?"
"Kind of the same way I put up with overly inquisitive guards. I came here for groceries, now I'm under the weak Inquisition."
"Hey, I'm just doing my job, okay, ma'am? I just have to ask these questions. I get paid to do this, all right? Just, we're going to be locking the gates in a couple hours for the night, so if you want to get back to Crazy Town, make it quick. If you want to spend the night, that's your business, but make it quick."
He signals, the gates roll up, and you guys are allowed to roll into Vosport.
Quick clears their throat. Sweet.
Thanks for listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. If you like what you've heard, please head over to iTunes and leave an iTunes review. Those really help other people find the show. If you want to help us create more great Flight Risk episodes, please head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/flightriskpod. If you want to help us in a way that doesn't involve credits leaving your pocket, please spread the word on social media. We can be found on Twitter at Flight Risk Pod and on Facebook.
You can choose the light. You can choose the dark.